Speaking of family, you've got five sons,
five
daughters. I know you're very proud of all of them. However, all of your sons are famously named George, and all our viewers definitely want to know why.
Well, I got hit by Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Ken Norton, Evander Holyfield. You let them hit you and see how many names you can remember.
Not many.
Don't be scared. It's time for Fully Threaded Radio.
It is Fully Threaded Radio, voice of the FCH Sourcing Network. Yes, it's another episode of Online On-Demand Fastener Talk Radio, everybody. So if you're in the fastener industry, well, this is the podcast for you. We're very glad that you clicked in. Eric Dudas with you. And I'm joined by a man who isn't bothered in the least by unusual fastener abbreviations. He's Brian Musker. Hey, Brian, doing all right?
Well, I don't actually like the abbreviations, to tell you the honest truth. I'm doing fine. If everything was spelled out fully, I'd have no trouble and the Shrubber probably wouldn't exist.
Good point. Your raison d'etre. And the uploads have been coming in at a pretty good pace, especially while we were on vacation. Seems like they stack up even in the summer months.
Yes, this was a little bit of a problem, but we've sort of got it resolved. You're right. And it was even a worse problem because when we were way up in the middle of nowhere, my phone started acting up when it was realized it had no connection to anything, and it acted like it had a virus or something in it. It did things all by itself. Just clicked on emails, text messages, tried to call people, all while just sitting on the table. It was just, in the end, I had to power it off. And it actually wouldn't even let me power it off for a start.
It was really weird. I saw the screen while it was doing that, and it looked like it was an autonomously driven cell phone.
Oh,
talk about volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity.
God, especially the only thing, right, when you're fishing, I mean, we do have Wi-Fi in the lodge, but and you know, I get my weather forecast in there, but mainly my phone is a camera, which wasn't needed that much because I didn't have a great fishing time. You did much better than me, but it was still, and I took my phone to Apple, and Apple said, oh, iPhones do not get viruses. It's a problem in the display. I said, really? This doesn't look right to me. So the display not only can fail to register things, it can invent totally new things. It was a completely lying answer. Okay?
Well, this is the same company who, when you approach them telling you that you need a new battery, they deny it. And then when you put a new battery in, everything's good to go. So, hey, let's not rip on Apple too bad. They've provided us some great phones over the years, but... You know, that's why we say this is predominantly fastener-related, folks. We're going to get into the fastener info here in a big way, however, on this episode 130 of the Fully Threaded Radio podcast. We're publishing this time on July 26th, 2018. Well, Bri, this episode is pretty much going to be like a knockout punch of fastener industry information, actually, as we feature BBI's George Hunt III on the podcast today.
Yeah, as we all come to know, I met George sort of by accident. I mean, everyone else knows him, but I didn't know him. And I decided he was a really interesting guy. We needed to get him on the podcast.
A lot of you know him, but a lot of you have only admired him from across the room, checking out his very chic ensembles. But in any case, we'll find out a lot more about GH3 on today's podcast. We'll also speak with Jessica Bowiek of Mack Brooks. She's just back from Fastener Fair Mexico. And of course, Mack Brooks is already getting things ready for Fastener Fair USA in Detroit next spring. So we'll get the story on all of that. Kelly Cole of Hayes Bolt is the new NFDA president. He joins Mike McNulty on the Fastener News Report to talk about the latest Fastener Distributor Index numbers. And Carmen Pertullo talks dip spinning on the Fastener Training Minute. It's jam-packed, And as if that all wasn't enough, we're going to begin today, after a short break, by discussing the latest announcement by Amazon that has the fastener industry buzzing. Yes, they're at it again.
Yeah, as if you hadn't guessed.
If you heard episode 129 of the podcast, which you should have, Ian Heller, president of MDM, was with us, and he was discussing the Amazon effect, and maybe we had him on an episode too soon. But in any event, we'll deep dive into that topic. And don't turn the podcast off after the feature segment with George Hunt III, because Brian and I are going to close the podcast out today with a few points that could very well save your fastener business from the sinister forces aligning against us all right now. And well, let's just say it this way. It's a jam-packed episode all the way up to the closing bell.
The forces of darkness.
Don't let your lights go out. I don't know. We're kind of searching for a theme here. The title of today's episode is kind of shaky, but I think after you listen to the George Hunt III segment, you'll come away with an understanding of it. And another thing that you should clearly understand is that we have got a lineup of fantastic sponsors. Brian, please let everyone know who they are.
All right. We are lucky. We have some great sponsors, and the good thing is that, you know, over the years we've come to know the people who are our sponsors, and they're great friends of ours too. The title sponsor of Fully Threaded Radio is Steelfast. Steelfast for service you deserve and people you trust. Also sponsoring Fully Threaded Radio are Buckeye Fasteners, BTM Manufacturing, Fastenal, International Fastener Expo, InSQL Software, ND Industries, The Worth Group, Vault Industrial Plastics, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. Thanks to all of you. We look forward to our friendship continuing.
Sponsors really do make Fully Threaded possible, everybody. So please, let them know you appreciate it by calling them when you need parts they carry and by spreading the word about Fully Threaded. I mean, it's really just that simple, and it does mean a lot because we depend on our sponsors, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. That's why you keep clicking in.
Right.
And you might even be asking yourself, how do we get our ad on the podcast? Or even, how do we get one of those cool, large-sized banner ads that show at the top of the Fully Threaded page and also on the top of the FCH search page? Well, glad you asked. Email me at ftr@fullythreaded.com, and I'll get you started. Let's face it, we want more sponsors, and you want tons of people to hear about you and think you're cool, which you must be since you clicked into the podcast in the first place. See how that all comes together, Bri?
Amazing, yeah.
That's ftr@fullythreaded.com. Get with us anytime, and you could just let us know what you think in general. We're also out there on Twitter where the handle's fullythreaded. Another thing that our sponsors enable us to do is to do things that I think are pretty cool, like our annual scholarship program with the Fastener Training Institute. And we've launched another one of those this year, haven't we, Bri?
Yep. And this, incidentally, this is great, a great introduction. I mean, people listening to this know what the whole thing is, the certified fastener professional. But for someone starting off in the industry, this is how they learn and meet other people learning. It's just a great course for them to do. And it's presented by the Fastener Training Institute. And all that's required is that one member of your organization or number need to write us an essay. And the essay is really explaining why this would be a great thing for them, why, and why they'd benefit from it. And the lovely and talented Lynn Dempsey and Sue Rice will both be reading through these when we collect them all, and they will judge to work out who's really the winner. Fortunately, Eric and I don't have to do this, but it's really worth it, okay? It's a great prize.
Yeah, you're too busy interpreting weird fastener abbreviations, Bri, let's face it.
I am.
The deadline for your entry is September 30th. The winners will be announced in Vegas. And that's at the end of October. There are some other prizes, and everyone who enters receives a voucher to an FTI webinar, so there are no losers.
Yeah.
That's the fifth annual FTR and FTI Fastener Training Scholarship Program. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening into the podcast. Again, I think it's jam-packed. So go the distance with us for sure. We'll catch you on the other side of these breaks. It's Fully Threaded.
Right here.
Brian and Eric, your online Fastener Talk Radio brothers in thread. Fully Threaded Radio.
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001-2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast, service you deserve, people you trust.
Are you tired of empty promises from software vendors? Are you paying for support that you're not receiving? Is it time for another paid upgrade? There is a solution. InSequel delivers quality software designed for the fastener industry at an affordable price with industry-leading support. Unlike other software companies, with InSequel, you purchase your software once. There will never be a paid upgrade. If you need assistance with anything, InSequel is there to help. When you call, you will always speak with a real person offering you quick and knowledgeable answers to your questions. Can your current provider say this? Quality software, affordable pricing, industry-leading support. Only InSequel can deliver all three. So, why settle? Call InSequel Software at 877-446-9775 or visit www.inxsql.com.
It's that time again. The largest event of the year in the fastener industry is almost here. The International Fastener Expo. The show will take place October 30th through November 1st at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas. For new and returning attendees alike, we're excited to announce new additions to the show this year. These include a brand new preview day, daily meetings, free educational sessions, and the highly anticipated award ceremony recognizing leaders in the fastener industry. The legendary welcome reception is bigger than ever and being held this year at the Daylight Pool at the Mandalay Bay Resort. If you haven't yet attended the Fastener Show, this is the year to make the trip. It's an exciting time in the fastener industry, and this year's event will be the largest yet. You simply can't afford to miss this year's show. The expo features over 800 suppliers from across the country and worldwide. The International Fastener Expo takes place October 30th through November 1st in Las Vegas. For full details and to register, go to www.fastenershows.com. See you at the show.
I don't have time to look for the best price for a socket head cap screw zinc plated with a patch.
Solution Man Ken, let me handle all of your secondary processes, and I'll even ship the finished product. One price, one purchase order, one invoice, and one shipment equals one solution. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Solution Man, you're my primary source for secondary processes.
Good one.
Hi, this is Frank Duffy from Set Screw Manufacturing Company in Elgin, Illinois, your one-stop shop for set screws. You are listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Brian and Eric back with you on the online Fastener Thunderdome, Fully Threaded.
The Thunder, I don't know where you dream these words up from, okay? A Thunderdome.
Yeah, well, the whole boxing idea, the theme, kind of.
Oh, okay, right.
It's shaky, I know.
Yeah, no, it really is.
It actually is a Fastener Thunderdome these days out there, though, in the industry, you know, with all of the different stuff being thrown at us. Like I said at the top of the show here, another wrinkle from Amazon it gets thrown into the mix, adding to the overall ambiguity and uncertainty that we face on a daily basis. And this time we're talking about a story that came out. Actually, my phone lit up with texts from people pointing this out to me, and then I went on to Twitter and I saw Tracy Lumia over there at Link Magazine and tweeted about it as well. Amazon made an announcement about a new app that they've got, actually just for the iOS at this point. I'm sure there will be an Android version coming at some point, but right. It's called Part Finder, and it's a tool that allegedly allows you to scan a part, and then it does a whole bunch of stuff in the background to identify it. And I'll read a little bit of this out of the story that I'm looking at. It happens to be off a website called SiliconAngle.com. One of my friends from Ariba sent it over. And I'm sure the first thing you thought, Bri, when you heard about this was part pick.
Yes, I did. Right. Someone who we haven't heard much about for a while. I believe they've been bought by someone, one of the Fastener, not distributors, but warehousing crowds.
Yeah, well, that was a little confusing to me. They obviously are owned by Amazon, and if you read widely enough on this story, you'll see that PartPick was acquired by Amazon, but for some reason, I thought that they had been acquired by McMaster Car.
Right, that's what we were led to believe.
Now, I know one of the principals has a background with McMaster Car, one of the principals of PartPick.
Yeah.
But however it happened, their technology is now owned and being utilized by Amazon, and the app that they've released is called Part Finder. Maybe we should have trademarked the Finder name, Bri.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the Finder thing. Maybe that might have come from us, because we had a year of discussions with them. But I think, you know, the reality is that for the bulk of the people listening to this program, that app is not aimed at these people. The app is aimed at someone who doesn't know what it is they're holding in their hand, which is usually the weekend mechanic. And it's for some guy who doesn't know that this is called a plow bolt or this is called a carriage bolt. And so the aim is to try and identify what is this item. Most of our users and the people that we deal with, they know what a hex head cap screw is. Their problem is working out where to get it from.
That's true. And I think that a lot of people who read this initially had the same reaction. But I also think that people are looking at it and saying, okay, what does it portend? The story I'm reading here says that currently this app is supposed to read about 100 types of fasteners, which, quote, represents thousands if not millions of parts. Well, that's fine, but it's just one piece, and like you said, most of our audience really already knows how to identify the parts. But let's roll this back. The part pick people started showing up at the Vegas show, and maybe some other shows, I don't know, but you were talking extensively with them. This is before the acquisition, right? And we were thinking, well, how cool would it be if we could integrate this into our SourceFinder RFQ tool?
Well, in fact, we did. I mean, we remember the first time they turned up in public, they were in the booth next to us by design at Vegas. And we continued discussing it with them and made it so that, in fact, from their app in its early days, you could search FCH, much the same way as, you know, someone using in SQL or Business Edge can as well. And you took a picture of it instead of, you know, clicking on one of the item that was in your inventory.
Right.
And it sort of, I don't know, things sort of faded off. I don't know quite if they lost their way or it was harder to get the thing it actually working than they anticipated, I think. And then the next we heard they'd been acquired, you know, by...
Somebody.
Yeah, somebody. And then it was not Amazon, though. And so maybe it was always Amazon and we were just fed a bit of crap. Possible.
More ambiguity, right, Bri?
Yeah. But they're good. The guy who was in charge of, the dealings that I had was a guy called Jason Crane, a really, really nice guy. Comes out of Georgia, I think.
Yeah, they're Atlanta-based, or they were. Well, this story in SiliconANGLE starts, Amazon.com has rolled out what could be a very useful feature, an app for iOS that will help you find the right nut, bolt, washer, or screw you're looking for. It's called Part Finder, a feature you can find in the search bar when you're in the Amazon app. Scan the part you're looking at so it can be measured, and if everything works, you should be informed exactly what you are looking at. Then, you can head off to the hardware store and buy replacements. Story goes on, obviously. But that's where I think most people who know what Amazon is up to scratch their heads and they say, well, you're not going to use the info that you get here to go to the hardware store. You're going to use it to buy it through the Amazon network, right?
I would think so. Why would they bother otherwise? Yeah.
Now, when we were talking to these guys, our idea was that if you could take a part and identify it with a scan, let's just say it's a part that is unrecognized by the person holding it in their hand, but we know what it is, and most of the people in the industry know what it is. Well, at that point, we could take the output from what used to be Part Pick and put it into the scrubber, and the scrubber could then send it off through the FCH network. That was our concept, right?
Right. Or it could just do a search. And we have experimented with things a little like that. There's a not to the extent that PartPick did, though. I mean, we weren't trying to identify. We were expecting that that the system would send a picture. You took a picture of something, and it would go to people as a source finder, and they would work out what it was and quote on it. We missed out the whole idea of the intermediate step of trying to work out what it was ourselves. I mean, for sort of simple and, you know, cases, the technology actually works very, very well. Where it has problems is in the fact that it couldn't tell the difference between titanium and zinc-plated steel, okay, and possibly stainless taken in the wrong light, and certainly not grade 2 versus grade 5 versus grade 8 versus B7 steel. It can't detect any of that, okay?
Yeah, I guess materials and finishes would be a big problem for it.
Yeah, and they were. And they had got some of the finishes sorted out. They could usually handle plain and zinc yellow, I think. But it was quite good. I mean, the working that we did with it, you could take a picture of a hex head cap screw and it could work out what it was, okay, and what the diameter and what the thread was and the length. It knew that. So it was, you know, for common stuff, it was actually quite good. It was quite slick, and it's an eye candy technology. I mean, people, it looks so amazing when you're using it.
Well, it seems like it's one of these things that falls into this category where it can be helpful in a select set of circumstances. So for things that are real common, commodity items, it's really not required in the first place. And then for highly specialized items, it's probably not going to be able to identify exactly what it is anyway, because it doesn't fit into a category neatly. So everything that isn't in those two categories should be able to be identified.
Right. And the issue becomes sort of, you know, as we experimented with it in our newer version of the browser, put it away for a while, by the time you have taken pictures and done all sorts of things with your phone, your competitor could much more quickly actually type out in free format text what it really is, okay? You know, it's pretty quick to type 1/13 by 3.5 HCSZY, and that's it, okay? Which is what Scroogle and the scrubber can do.
Right. Now, go back a couple issues of Link Magazine. There's an article that we put in there called Do You Scroogle? And it tells about how the FCH sourcing network and our scrubber technology have done things that really lead up right to the part of taking the picture and helping you identify parts. I mean, we can find out what is a part from a very nebulous description, thus Brian's expertise in interpreting fastener abbreviations, as we mentioned before in the podcast. And then on top of that, we take the next step and connect you with somebody in the network wherever possible that can provide that part. So that's the role of FCH. That's one of the reasons I think that people were lighting up my cell phone, Bri, because they were wondering, hey, are you sweating bullets over this thing? And, well, I don't know if we are quite yet, but, I mean, we keep definitely watching what's happening.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting, I mean, if it wasn't interesting, we wouldn't have worked with Part Pick for nearly 2.5 years to make sure it could interface correctly and that we could, you know, give a fairly broad interpretation of what it thought something was. And, you know, we had a whole system worked on the back end that interfaced with it. It was actually very good, and but they themselves hadn't really worked out who was going to use this. It seemed to be it was going to be the weekend garage mechanic.
You know who was really jacked up about it was our old pal Andy Pels.
Yeah, I know.
From screwcrew.com. We haven't talked to him in a while, but he was right on board with us hooking up with those guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was. They had already worked out that they needed to get in touch with us. That's why they put their booth next to ours. And it wasn't really till we were setting everything up that we realized, oh, I wonder who this crowd is. And then we found out. And we had some very good talks with them. They were a good crowd. So I wish them well. And, yeah, everything has a place. That one needs a little, it'll fill some, there'll be a set of needs that it will have a, be a solution to.
Yeah, I have no doubt you're right on that one, Bri. Reading again from the SiliconANGLE story, says early reviewers of the app have said it takes a bit of getting used to, or that it's a great idea that it just doesn't work well enough. So there you go. Well, everybody, we talk about the FCH Sourcing Network quite a bit here on the Fully Threaded Radio podcast. That's because our main gig is the FCH Sourcing Network. That's found at www.fastenersclearinghouse.com. Still the biggest, baddest fastener-related network online that we're aware of. And if you've got parts, get with us. We'll help you find people who need them. If you're looking for a part, get out to the website. There's a search page there that's powered by our scrubber software. It does all kinds of cool things. And if you're wondering how it can help you and something doesn't appear obvious on the website, get with us. We'll help you figure it out. We're doing lots of things for lots of companies in the background, everybody. And I tell you, Bri, it must be tough coming back from vacation with the backlog you've got, but you do a yeoman service for the industry. FastenersClearinghouse.com, the FCH Sourcing Network.
Right. Fasteners with an S, as we learnt to our dismay 12 years ago.
And the S is for so cool.
Yeah, good beat. Or scrubber, or scroogle, or all sorts of things.
Sometimes scotch whiskey, you never know. Depends on our mood.
Yeah.
But it's so cool that you're listening to the podcast, everyone, and we sure do appreciate it. We're going to cut to some messages from our sponsors right now, then we'll be back. We got Jessica Bowick from Mac Brooks coming up. Later on, we've got GH3 from Brighton Best. It's a jam-packed episode. Thanks for listening, everyone. It's Fully Threaded Radio.
They're like more cowbell for the fastener industry. Brian and Eric. Fully Threaded Radio.
BTM Manufacturing is a domestic ISO 9001 manufacturer of threaded fasteners and bent wire products. From anchor bolts to studs to U-bolts, BTM is committed to making your per-print special with the highest quality standards while meeting your on-time delivery schedule. Since BTM began in 1961, this family-owned business has remained focused on providing exceptional service to their customers. Centrally located in Kansas City, Missouri, BTM recently expanded into a 100,000-square-foot facility, which allows for the production and manufacture of many projects simultaneously, both large and small quantity. BTM's website at btm-mfg.com allows you to submit custom quotes quickly and easily, and once you do, a BTM team member will contact you as soon as possible to discuss your needs. Are you ready to get started? BTM is. Visit www.btm-mfg.com today.
Since 1905, Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company have been supplying the world with high-quality fasteners. Our standard product lines include weld fasteners, graded weld screws, leg levelers, self-clinching hardware, clevis pins, rivet nuts, and various other fastener lines, allowing us to support virtually all types of industries. We have complete custom manufacturing capabilities in low carbon, medium carbon, and stainless steel materials, and our quality systems are registered to ISO standards. Our on-staff engineering department can assist you with product development and provide total technical support. Our knowledgeable sales team members offer superior customer service and are here to answer any questions you may have regarding our products. Having a hard time finding a part? Let our sourcing specialist do the work for you to locate those items. We offer competitive pricing with typically smaller minimums and shorter lead times. To find out more about Buckeye Fasteners, please call us at 800-437-1689 or on the web at buckeyefasteners.com. Buckeye Fasteners, more than just weld.
For a selection of hundreds of thousands of fasteners, check out your local Fastenal store or Fastenal.com. We can stock domestic or internationally sourced product locally and keep your bin stock filled for you at no additional expense. We are a 9001:2008 certified company that's made a huge investment in quality control so you don't have to. And if you can't find it on our shelf, we can make it for you at the quantity you need at one of our many manufacturing facilities. Learn more by contacting your local Fastenal store or visiting Fastenal.com today.
ND Industries has been solving customers' toughest problems through innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service since 1955. A family-owned business, ND Industries manufactures and applies fastener locking, bonding, sealing, masking, and assembling products. Their pre-application process makes fasteners ready to use at the point of assembly, resulting in reduced labor costs, time savings, and superior quality assurance. As a fully integrated company, ND handles all aspects of operations from formulating custom chemical compounds and coating fasteners to providing inline inspection, packaging, and delivery services. ND Industries serves the global market with 13 divisions in the continental U.S. and also facilities in Taiwan, China, and Turkey. Learn more about ND Industries at our website at www.ndindustries.com. ND Industries, innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service. Contact ND today.
Hi, this is Jackie with Stealthfast in Chicago. You're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Welcome back, Fastener Truth Seekers. Brian and Eric back with you.
Wow, Truth Seekers. Okay. Well, we have many truths here.
And which one is yours, Brian?
Well, I'll decide that later.
Well, I can tell you one thing that's true, and that is that this is usually the portion of the podcast where we hand things off eventually to Mike McNulty, and we will be doing that with the Fastener News Report coming up, including Fastener Distributor Index numbers. But first, there was a Fastener show that happened down in Guadalajara, Mexico, back in June. Actually, it was June 20th and 21st. Joining us from Mac Brooks for a, I guess you're kind of a recurrent guest on the podcast these days, Jessica. It's Jessica Bowie with Mac Brooks.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
We're doing good, thanks.
Great. Well, thanks for having me.
We want to hear all about the show because we covered the Mexico City show. I think that was the first rendition. You threw the industry a curveball by moving it a city this time. And how did it go down there?
It went really well. As you mentioned, we were in Guadalajara. We had over 150 companies exhibiting from about 10 countries and the region had participated. We had about a little over 1,600 verified guests, so it went really well. And, you know, it's interesting because exhibitors, you know, depends on what their focus is in the supply chain. We're really happy, and it was a very qualified attendee. And that region, one of the reasons why we had looked in Jalisco was that region is really growing and generating thousands of jobs in the automotive industry. And so it was very successful. And so we were happy with our first time in Guadalajara.
Oh, okay.
What were the highlights? Anything stick out in your mind?
Yeah, we had some of the conferences were really interesting. We had a keynote highlighting the NAFTA kind of 2.0 discussions And that's really, you know, a hot topic these days. And we had a distributor conference, and it was just really very interesting. And, you know, everyone has their opinions, but that was very successful. And we had other conferences and technical sessions and training for the industry. So that was really beneficial and delivered some great experts.
Well, if you had to boil down that keynote, what would be the takeaway from the NAFTA presentation?
Well, I think there's just a lot of the takeaway is, you know, they really talked about, I think, more some of the concerns that they're having with that and where it's going. And, you know, it's just a little different. They're very nervous from their perspective. And so, you know, I mean, we didn't solve the world, but it was just very interesting conversations and about the United States and our political scene right now.
Right, it would be interesting to be a fly on the wall there, I would think.
Yeah, it's always good to hear different perspectives outside of the United States. So.
Yeah, I understand. I lived out there for years. So was our friend Rosa the Riveter down there?
She didn't. Brighton Best was there. George was there, but Rosa didn't make it.
She
was busy, so she was unable to make it, so we missed her.
Okay.
But George was there to represent for sure.
Oh, he had done a great job.
Yes.
Now, with all the talk about the politics north of the border, was there discussion also about the tariff issue?
Not as much, no.
Huh, surprising.
Surprised. Yeah, I know. I'm surprised there wasn't as much conversation, as much of more concern about the NAFTA.
Well, it sounds like all in all, it was a successful Fastener Fair Mexico, and I'm sure that you're gearing up now for the next rendition for next year's Fastener Fair. Where's that going to be held?
And it's going to be in Mexico City, and it will be June 19th to the 20th. And we are already taking booth reservations. We had, you know, about 20% sign up on show site, so it was very successful.
So why the switch from Guadalajara back to Mexico City?
Well, we like to move the show because we don't want to just be a regional show, and it really helps our exhibitors and other companies that aren't unable to participate, you know, to travel to Mexico City or Jalisco, vice versa, to be able to attend the show. So it's, you know, you get a different audience, and it really, you know, helps keep the show fresh and new.
Okay. That's a good reason.
We do have a growing number of Fully Threaded listeners in Mexico and in South America also, but the lion's share of our audience is in the U.S. and also a nice number in Canada. So for those listeners, Jessica, what's the best reason to attend Fastener Fair Mexico next year?
Well, Fastener Fair Mexico, as it's that industry, they're growing. It's a great place to for technology. It's a new marketplace if you're looking at growing in North America. And it's a very niche market, and it'd be really great, you know, to be able to grow, you know, your network and your business by participating in Mexico. And Mexico City, as you know, is the largest city in Mexico, and this will be our fifth year of our show, and it'll be our fourth year in Mexico City, and we attract over 2,000 attendees.
Well, we'll keep everyone abreast of developments there. We've got a little bit of time to do that. And while we have you on, we can't let you get away without talking about what Matt Brooks did to the fastener industry this year earlier by taking the industry by storm with Fastener Fair USA. It was a success, but widely regarded as a regional success. And I know you've got bigger plans for that. So the idea now is you're going to be returning with Fastener Fair USA in Detroit this time, and that'll be May 22nd and 23rd in Detroit.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that, because originally we thought the show would happen every other year, but now you're doing it next year and it's in Detroit. What happened?
Well, as the board members had evaluated where we were going and how successful the event was, and we, you know, as we grew and how well attendees benefited and exhibitors, that they really wanted to look also at, you know, Detroit area because of the automotive industry and being so strong So we, our show will be, as you said, in May next year. And we have already, like, the sales, exhibit sales are very strong for Faster Fair USA already. We're over 40% sold. And we left the show from Cleveland with the momentum at 30%. So it's been going really well. We've had an increasing amount of requests and new companies that are coming in as well. And also Detroit, having an international airport, also what really opens it up to more international companies attending with direct flights coming in. And it's just really a great place for exhibitors, you know, to connect with the industry, with automotive, aerospace. So we're really excited about being in Detroit next year.
Wow. Well, I'll be there, okay? Because I've never been to
Yay!
Detroit in my own life. And I'm really
you
keen
haven't?
To go there. Never. Never. No. Actually. So.
Wow.
Right. There's a few things I want to see there, but I've been given plenty of warnings.
What do you want to see?
There is a set of murals by a guy whose politics I don't agree with, but Diego Rivera was Frida's husband, who there are still in Detroit, okay?
Lots of paintings on walls up in Detroit, Bray.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No, yeah. Right, there are, but these ones are ones that I want to see. I know, these were put there and someone paid a person to do them, but
paid
I don't want
to see them there.
Right.
Yeah, I've read about those. Well, we'll have to think about what the sightseeing tours of Detroit might be. It is a city in flux, to be honest, but nevertheless,
yeah.
It will be the site of Fastener Fair USA in 2019. Again, that's happening May 22nd, 23rd. Let me ask you this, Jessica. With the first rendition of the show, it was billed to be something that would be a blend of OEMs and in the fastener industry. As it turned out, the OEMs really didn't turn out. There was a sprinkling. Do you expect that to change at all in Detroit?
Yeah, we expect that to keep growing. That's always a little bit more difficult. And we believe, you know, with some of our partnerships and that we're developing in the Michigan area to be able to grow that. And we find that across the board. I mean, it was our first year launching it, and it'll keep growing. Kind of across the board that it just takes some time to develop and build those relationships.
Okay. Sounds good to us. Because we deal with all people.
That's right. And we'll be along and watching and supporting what you do. And
awesome.
We all know that front and center. I mean, there are mixed ideas about what a show like that means for the industry. And some will participate and some won't. And we'll just have to see what happens, right?
And one of the things that, thanks to you guys, that we did, and I think it was really beneficial that we heard from exhibitors, and it was just, I think, one of our interviews that we highlighted just to help exhibitors that were a little bit more uncomfortable or didn't really want wanted to be able to identify the OEM. So we changed our registration from our last call, and we highlighted those, whether they're, you know, what they are in the industry. And I don't know if you guys noticed that, but that was thanks to you guys and your help.
Absolutely. We did notice, and everyone we talked to thought that was a great idea, okay?
Yeah. So we will do that next year as well. So if people are a little bit more uncomfortable or, you know, wondering, you know, who they're talking to, it'll really help identify that.
Yep. Great idea. Actually, that suggestion came from Simi at Stillfast.
Oh, wow. Well, it's always, you know, I appreciate that. So thank you, Stillfast.
I agree. It was very wise of you to implement that idea. Thank you, Simi. The Fastener News Report is coming up in mere moments, everyone. This time brought to us by Volt Industrial Plastics and Fastenal. The title sponsor of Fully Threaded Radio is the aforementioned Stillfast. And before we let you get out of here, we've got another rock and roll issue to cover with you very quickly. Jessica, I know you have recently discovered the answer to this, but we were talking offline a little bit. Now, so Creed and Pearl Jam, now they're the same band with a different singer? Or, I mean, how does all this work? I mean, you're hip. You're probably one of the greatest authorities on 80s and 90s rock and roll that we know.
I don't know about that, Eric. I can't classify that. I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that.
Creed kind of, as we were discussing, may copy Pearl Jam? I don't know. Or sound like them?
Sound like them.
Sound like them. Very similar.
Well, we can talk about it in Cleveland next time for sure, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll come up during a Motown conversation also in Detroit. You never know where these things wind up at Fastener shows,
Jessica.
You never
know.
Right.
It's that wonderful networking that we do, right?
Yeah, it is. Right. That's what this industry's good at.
It is. That's what makes it so fun. And
well, there's one other thing that I know you know, Jessica, and that is what's coming up next.
Now, with news about screws you can use, here is Mike McNulty.
Very good.
Thanks, Jessica. This is Mike McNulty from Fastener Technology International Magazine, bringing you the Fastener News Report, which is sponsored by Volt Industrial Plastics, makers of the world's finest plastic fasteners. Steel tariffs and trade war mongers are causing many temperatures to rise as fast as the summer heat, but the Cleveland Indians have 6 All-Stars and a comfortable lead in the American League Central, so I am still focused on fasteners and ready to deliver today's Fastener News Report. In this episode, we're going to reveal the latest results of the Fastener Distributor Index, also known as the FDI. Also in today's broadcast, we have our top story on Continental Nails layoffs and newsmaker headlines from G.L. Hewitt, AZ Lifting Hardware, K-Max, Spiral, Acumet, Ford Fasteners, and many more household fastener names. On the back page report, we're going to talk about MDM's 2018 list of the top fastener distributors. We'll get to all of that and the latest FDI results right after this.
Whether you need a small or large number of fasteners, there is no reason why you should have to sacrifice quality or service for that matter. Volt Industrial Plastics takes great care with each and every order to ensure you receive a quality fastener in a timely and affordable manner. Our state-of-the-art production equipment allows us to produce any quantity you request quickly and efficiently. And with same-day shipping on nearly 1 million in-stock fasteners, we carry an inventory so you don't have to. Visit us online at voltplastics.com to find out more about our quality American-made products. Volt Industrial Plastics, manufacturer of the finest plastic fasteners in the world.
Buckeye Fasteners and the Ohio Nut and Bolt Company have been servicing the fastener community since 1905. An employee-owned company for 33 years, we take great pride in the quality of products we sell, offering outstanding customer service from our very knowledgeable sales team members. Our standard product lines include graded weld screws, resistance weld fasteners, leg levelers, tube inserts, clevis pins, and various other fasteners. We have complete custom manufacturing capabilities in low carbon, medium carbon, and stainless steel materials, and our quality systems are registered to ISO standards. We also have an entire team of sourcing specialists able to locate those hard-to-find items with typically smaller minimums and shorter lead times than that of our competition. We offer same-day shipments from one of our warehouses, strategically located throughout the United States and Canada, enabling us to fulfill all your fastener needs in a very timely manner. To find out more about Buckeye Fasteners, please call us at 800-437-1689 or visit us on the web at buckeyefasteners.com. Buckeye Fasteners, product support from development to implementation.
I know my customers' yearly usage, but I don't have the warehouse space to store it.
Solution Man can submit a blanket order, and I'll not only set up release dates, I'll offer you bulk pricing too. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
You're my fastener superhero.
Just doing my job, ma'am.
Mike McNulty.
The seasonally adjusted FDI for June 2018 was a stellar 62.3, up significantly from the previous month's result of 56.6. Fastener Distributor Index data is collected and analyzed by the FCH Sourcing Network, the National Fastener Distributors Association, and Baird. The FDI seeks to identify demand, pricing, and outlook trends within the American fastener distribution industry. To get some insights on these results, we talked to NFDA President Kelly Cole of Hayes Bolt & Supply. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for joining us on the Fastener News Report.
You bet, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. It's been a while, but what can you tell us about these surging June FDI results?
It's trending, you know, pretty much what we've been seeing for the past 6 months. You know, we get kind of adjusted in the spring for a slowdown, and things have flatlined from our peaks in early spring. So that's a good indicator that things are on a roll. But that's, you know, cyclical, so we'll see come fall.
Right. Some of the other numbers, the forward-looking indicator also increased to 62.2 versus 58.8 last month. And the sales, employment, and pricing numbers were all higher. And the pricing index set a new record of 90.7. What are you guys hearing about pricing?
Pricing. Well, I'm seeing increases from vendors. Unfortunately, I can't wave the magic wand at our customers, so I'm getting pushback, you know, and there a lot of them are asking about it with all of the new developments and things like that that we'll go into in a minute. But, yeah, we're seeing price increases from vendors.
Yeah, so you're getting pushed on both sides, the vendors pushing up and the customers pushing back.
Exactly.
That's just the my grandfather used to say, par for the course. But
yeah,
so, you know, looking at the six-month outlook, it says overall it's pretty positive, but we had a number of 15% of people thinking sales will be lower 6 months from now, which puts us into 2019. And that's for a while that's been around 10%, so that's a little bit of a jump. So maybe people aren't so bullish that this good year is going to carry on to next year. Do you any ideas on 6 months down the road?
Well, you know, we saw some interesting things with the Bulio brothers, you know, regarding, you know, what they're forecasting for 2019. So I'm a little pessimistic that this trend is going to continue based on hearing that same message for a number of years that, you know, that through 18 and into 19, we're going to see a softening, you know, and that's just compounded with all this tariff, you know, trade talk and things like that. So although I'm bullish on the economy and the, you know, good things about manufacturing jobs and things like that, that's all good. But I am a little pessimistic about, you know, whether or not I see the stabilizing and continuing through 19. I'm preparing for it downsizing a bit.
Yeah, and then, you know, in a free market or semi-free market, you're going to have ups and downs. So that's something to.
And that's the kind of the ripple that I think everybody's expecting next year is a little softening, but not a you know, business killer, you know.
Right. And those forecasts you're talking about, the Bellio brothers, those are from NFDA meetings, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those guys do a good job.
They do.
A little intense.
Well, they throw a couple of good laughs in there at least.
Yeah,
know?
Right, right. Now, on the comments side, we didn't get a lot of comments, but we had some good ones. One responded, indicate that their demand remains strong, and they were quoted as saying, RFQs are strong, so sales will be better once we increase production so that we can decrease our ship dates. That's the old catch-22. When you get more orders, then you start to increase your delivery times, and then you lose orders. So then you have to decide
right.
whether to invest or not.
Yeah, we are seeing lead times being stretched pretty far, and you know, people are just, I think they're reluctant to put on the reserve capacity that they have just because they anticipate a softening. And you know, the workforce is really in jeopardy right now. You can't hire guys on, you know, and it's difficult to steal people right now. You know, so I think that's the threat. You know, it's not just necessarily capacity, but it's having good employees.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's an impediment we've been hearing for a long time of getting people to fill these manufacturing jobs and or sales jobs. It's just difficult to find the talent, unfortunately.
You know, that's exactly right. I mean, the Faster Education Foundation's been struggling with that problem in the industry and helping the industry solve that problem. You know, but it is industry-wide, and I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago, ITW anticipated losing 10 people a month and having the deficit of 10 people per month retiring that were not able to be replaced. So
you
talk about capacity issues and lead time, then you don't have bodies to run machines, you know?
Right.
So it's a difficult time.
Well, here come the robots, I guess, right? They'll take over.
Well,
good movie.
it's interesting to walk into a header in the United States or stamper in the United States and to see how many bodies are man and machines. And you go overseas to Taiwan, you got one guy running around a room with 12 headers.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And 16 women sorting parts.
All right. The other comment was not on sale. It was on the what you mentioned earlier, tariffs and trade issues. And Baird says that steel tariffs and global trade issues remain areas of concern for many respondents, echoed by one distributor who said, quote, we've been told that wire coming into the States from Canada has a 25% tariff on it. That increased our cost by 7 to 8% on the finished good. And I don't see this ending anytime soon. So this seems to be one of those subjects that's in play right now. Lots getting a lot of attention, and Do you have a take on this? Are you guys feeling any pinch on the tariffs and trade issues, or just uncertainty?
No, actually, we're getting letters, and they vary between, you know, a single line item cost increase of an affected item to line item for the exact tariff percentage. But it's interesting that you bring up that the cost of the wire impact at the bottom line at the fastener end is only 7% versus the 25% raw material incoming, mm-hmm. you know, surcharge or tax. But, you know, but we're seeing things, you know, like, you know, 10% just being, so I think people are going to taking advantage of it.
Yeah, right.
You know, now that they can get a price increase.
Mm-hmm.
And our customers are wanting to see line item, you know, details and letters from the sources because, you know, they're just requiring proof of this. And I think that's where we're going to have to start pushing back on some of these suppliers. Well, that's great, but we want to see the customs invoices or something, right?
Right.
And they're going to, who's going to want to give up that?
Right. And if they're paying a tariff, you know, if you're paying a tariff on wire, obviously you put in labor and you put in other costs to get it into a fastener, obviously. So
sure.
It can't be a straight 25% transfer or if you're buying rod that has a tariff on it and you draw it down, it shouldn't be straight either. So.
Right. And so I'm a little concerned that what they're seeing is 7 to 8% after a 25% increase on the raw material. I've never heard anybody run into having extra material after they ran parts out.
Right.
So they're usually losing material. So it's amortized over a smaller, you know, tonnage or volume. Right. So that doesn't translate to me.
Well, we'll see.
What am I missing?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just another, in my opinion, another way to throw more taxes around and use leverage and unintended consequences and personal interests and so
right,
on and so forth.
Right.
So.
You know, and then the uncertainty thing is still that right. you turn the TV on, you never know if they're going to come to an agreement or what they're going to impose it on. I think that's just, there's still a lot of saber rattling going on between everybody, and who knows what we're going to see again.
Yeah. Some unnecessary anxiety, if you ask me.
Yeah. But you know, on a positive side, if people can expect, you know, the prices that we're used to paying for these Chinese goods and things to go up by 10 or 12%, and it spurs manufacturing in the United States, and, you know, what's the overall negative impact that these tariffs would really have other than just leveling the playing field? And if we can absorb that cost increase because these goods are already so inexpensive, or is the American public willing to do that? And then the tariff thing kind of goes away, right?
Right.
The fear of the impact on the economy, because you're not seeing consumers slowing down spending very much, according to all the indexes we're seeing, right?
Right.
So, you know, maybe it's 2-3 months still down the road, but now we're getting into Christmas. So,
you know, in a perfect free market, we could get tariffs down to zero, period. Mm-hmm. And to be trading partners. But everybody's got their favorite thing, you know, whether it's U.S. putting 25% tariffs on trucks or
right.
What is it, Canadian dairy or U.S. lumber or this guy, that guy, and then people that just cheat. So it's difficult, but the ideal thing would be if you're going to trade, there's no tariffs and no barriers and there's no dumping.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, right? That's what they were getting hit with 5-10 years ago was the dumping, right?
Dumping stuff in there and driving companies out of business. So.
Right.
Anyways, I don't know the solution, but
I don't either.
I know the ideal thing.
Just keep going to work, right?
Yeah, right. Keep doing what you can do. So, all right. Well, good. I mean, but on the other hand, it's good to see the FDI jump up. It's been a powerful year for the FDI. So it means things are going good in the fastener industry. So, all right. Let's close out with anything you want to tell us about what's going on. You know, the president of the NFDA, and you're also involved at Hayes Bolton Supply. Anything news you want to report to the listeners?
Oh, well, you know, we're getting excited around here at Hayes. We're getting ready to go through a remodel. So anybody that's done that recently or in the past knows how fun that is. So we've got that going on and, you know, we're looking for good people and we're expanding and growing. So things are good there. NFDA is healthy and has a bright future. We've got a great culture at our board and at our membership level. We're really excited about the upcoming March spring meeting with the Midwest Fastener Association and the PacWest Fastener Association. The three of the largest associations are all getting together and having a joint meeting. So we're really looking forward to a lot of participation. It's March, so all the people back there in the Midwest should be ready to jump on a plane and get to San Diego. So we're looking forward to having, you know, a great participation. So that's about the newest things coming up. Just really looking forward to getting some membership meetings going here pretty soon in the next month or so for, you know, getting value add ideas and things that we can bring to the association so that there's a real value proposition for all the members.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. You know, as a resident of Ohio, March is definitely a time that we'd like to get to some warmer weather.
Well, I've got a son. I think he's getting ready to move back to Ohio to take one of those manufacturing jobs. So a little California boy in Ohio with his two little blonde kids will fit right in back there in Ohio. I just don't know how he's going to enjoy the winters.
Where in Ohio?
I believe he's going to be in the Akron area.
Okay, well, that's right where we are. So yeah. There's some skiing around here and snowboarding, so it's almost like surfing, I guess. So. But it won't be snow that you're used to out west.
No, not at all.
All right, well, good luck to him, and good luck to Hayes and the NFDA, and thanks for joining us and sharing your insights on the FDI.
No problem. Good to be here. You guys have a great afternoon.
That was Kelly Cole of Hayes Bolton Supply, the current NFDA president. The FDI number for June was 62.3 versus 56.6 in May. Visit FDISurvey.com to participate in the process and get a detailed PDF copy of Baird's monthly analysis on the FDI. Now for today's top story. According to local reports, President Trump's 25% tariff on steel imports that took effect in June has caused a Southeast Missouri nail manufacturer to lose 50% of its business in just 2 weeks. Mid-Continental Nail Corporation in Poplar Bluffs, Missouri, says that it had to take drastic measures just to make ends meet. The company employing 500 people laid off 60 temporary workers last month, and it could cut 200 more jobs by the end of July, and it may be out of business by Labor Day. Company spokesperson Elizabeth Heaton said, "Something has to happen very fast, within days, in order for us to know that things are going to improve." Mid-Continent Nail says that it is seeking an exemption from the 25% tariff. The company is owned by Mexico-based D'Acero, and it imports steel wire from Mexico to make its nail products. Next up, today's Fastener Newsmaker headlines. In acquisition, expansion, and investment news, G.L. Hewitt has acquired AZ Lifting Hardware. K-Max recently broke ground on a new fastener production site in León, Mexico. Accentra has acquired 100% of the share capital of Nolato Hertila. Yardley Products welcomed John Eckhart and H.W. Eckhart Corporation to its team of sales reps. EFC International established an office and warehouse in Querétaro, Mexico. Optimus has acquired Circle Bolt & Nut Company, also known as CBN. And R&R Engineering has completed a building addition which contains several new automated bent bolt machines. In personnel news, Spiral has appointed Jeff Cole as CEO, Pan Sinemi as Vice President Information Technology, and Christy Jones as Vice President Marketing. Bassard has appointed Dr. Frank Hilgers as Business Unit Manager for Northern and Eastern Europe. The Philip Screw Company has appointed Gary Dilling as Director of Engineering. Fontana Grupo has named Daniel D. Sebastian as President and CEO of Acument Global Technologies in Sterling Heights, Michigan. And Fulton AB has appointed Anders Nystrom as its new President and CEO. In awards and milestones, Birmingham Fastener and Supply has won the 2018 Alabama Manufacturer of the Year Award, and Ford Fasteners is celebrating its 55th anniversary this year. And finally, the NFDA has announced that Jim Roots of AIS is the 2018 NFDA Fastener Professional of the Year. You can get details on all of these stories and more in Fastener Technology International Magazine and the Fastener News Report newsletter, which is available at fastenertech.com. Finally, let's turn to the back page to talk about MDM's 2018 list of the top fastener distributors. Modern Distribution Management, also known as MDM, has released the 2018 edition of its top distributors list, which analyzes 14 industry sectors by revenue size. One of those sectors is fasteners, and their top fastener distributors, listed alphabetically with annual revenue results, are Bisco Industries with $157 million, Bassard America with $222 million, Copper State Nut and Bolt with $148 million, EFC International with $89 million, Endries International with $429 million, Fastenal Company with $1.56 billion, the Hillman Group with $838 million, Kimball Midwest with $240 million, KLX Incorporated with $1.1 billion, Lawson Products with $306 million, MSC Industrial Supply with $2.9 billion, Optimus OE Solutions with $330 million, Wesco Aircraft with $1.4 billion, and Worth Americas with $2.1 billion. Eastern Industrial Supplies, McMaster Carr, and W.W. Granger were also on the list, but they were listed without revenue numbers. In my opinion, these numbers indicate that the fastener distribution sector in the USA is certainly alive and well. This has been Mike McNulty of Fastener Technology International bringing you the Fastener News Report. Please send your news, pictures, comments, corrections, or complaints to me at McNulty@FastenerTech.com.
Don't say you haven't been forewarned. GH3 is up next. It's Fully Threaded. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Cardinal Fastener is your source for high-quality made-in-the-USA bolts from 3/8 inch up to 4.5 inch diameter. We can forge a wide variety of materials, including carbon steels, alloys, high nickel alloys, and stainless. And our in-house tooling center, heat treat equipment, and A2LA quality labs give us total control over every part we produce for faster lead times and superior quality. Call 844-CNL-BOLT for a fast, competitive quote. And remember, if it's critical, it's Cardinal.
It's that time again. The largest event of the year in the fastener industry is almost here. The International Fastener Expo. The show will take place October 30th through November 1st at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas. For new and returning attendees alike, we're excited to announce new additions to the show this year. These include a brand new preview day, daily meetings, free educational sessions, and the highly anticipated award ceremony recognizing leaders in the fastener industry. The legendary welcome reception is bigger than ever and being held this year at the Daylight Pool at the Mandalay Bay Resort. If you haven't yet attended the Fastener Show, this is the year to make the trip. It's an exciting time in the fastener industry, and this year's event will be the largest yet. You simply can't afford to miss this year's show. The Expo features over 800 suppliers from across the country and worldwide. The International Fastener Expo takes place October 30th through November 1st in Las Vegas. For full details and to register, go to www.fastenershows.com. See you at the show.
BTM Manufacturing is a domestic ISO 9001 manufacturer of threaded fasteners and bent wire products. From anchor bolts to studs to U-bolts, BTM is committed to making your per-print special with the highest quality standards while meeting your on-time delivery schedule. Since BTM began in 1961, this family-owned business has remained focused on providing exceptional service to their customers. Centrally located in Kansas City, Missouri, BTM recently expanded into a 100,000-square-foot facility, which allows for the production and manufacture of many projects simultaneously, both large and small quantity. BTM's website at btm-mfg.com allows you to submit custom quotes quickly and easily, and once you do, a BTM team member will contact you as soon as possible to discuss your needs. Are you ready to get started? BTM is. Visit www.btm-mfg.com today.
Well, hello everyone. This is Carmen Vertullo coming to you from the Carver Fact Center and the Fastener Training Institute. I've had several questions recently regarding dip spin coatings on fasteners and some of the problems that we can run into with drive systems on small fasteners and threads, and it's particularly thread fit. Dip spin coatings tend to be heavier than zinc plating and other types of electroplating, so we can run into some problems. When we come back, I'll tell you what those problems are and how to effectively deal with them.
Thanks, Carmen. This is John Walkman for the Fastener Training Institute. Summertime is great for getting away for fun, family, and fastener training. Yes, FTI is producing some great summer school classes. On July 12th in Denver, we're offering Why Fasteners Fail, presented by Lawrence Klaus. This full-day class provides insight into the major causes of fastener failures and how to avoid them. On July 17th in Los Angeles, Carmen teaches Understanding the Bolted Joint. This one-day class is part of our seven-class Certified Fastener Specialist series. Carmen makes this important topic both informative and fun. On August 20th through 24th, Fastener Training Week returns to Chicago. This five-day class is co-produced by the Industrial Fasteners Institute and hosted by the Midwest Fastener Association. Chicago is a great location for this event that brings together three of our premier teachers, Celine Brahimi, Lawrence Klaus, and Carmen Vertullo. A full day of fastener manufacturing plant tours is included. Participants that complete the class and pass the final tests are awarded their Certified Fastener Specialist certifications. The Fastener Training Institute relies on the participation, generosity, and support of the fastener community. So please attend a class, make a donation, or sponsor a class. Now, back to Carmen for our Fastener Training Minute.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Fastener Training Minute. This is Carmen Vertullo with the Fastener Training Institute and the Carver Fact Center. We're going to talk about dip spin coatings for fasteners. Now, for the most part, when we think of dip spin coatings, we think of a couple of trade names, such as Geomet or Magni, and the many, many flavors they come in. In the older systems, it was called Dacromet, or we might think of the ASTM specification versions of those coatings, like ASTM F1136 or F3019. There's another one or two out there as well. But the important thing to remember is that these dip spin coatings, they're like paint. They go on either by dipping the fasteners into this solution that looks like paint, and then it gets spun off, or it gets sprayed on like spray paint. It consists of some kind of a binder with a bunch of zinc in it and some aluminum in the top coat. And when it goes on, for lack of saying it a better way, it goes on kind of thick. Now, some of the coatings can be thin enough to maybe be similar to zinc plating. When you think about plating, think of a very, very thin coating. And for coating of fasteners, for example, it can be as thin as maybe 2/10,000ths of an inch, which is very thin, up to 4/10,000ths. We get more than about 4/10,000ths of an inch, and then we may have some thread interference, even on threads that have what's called the allowance for coating. Now, the problem is that when coating goes down on threads, it has an effect on the thread's pitch diameter, that is the thing that we measure, the primary dimension for the threads. It has an effect on that pitch diameter that is four times the coating thickness. So it's important that we control the coating thickness. Now, one of the great features of some of these dip spin coatings is we can get some very high salt spray tests on them up in the 1,000-hour range. And that's a lot of times what we're looking for is the 1,000-hour salt spray test. Highly corrosion resistant coatings. To get that though, the coatings need to be rather thick, as much as 4/10,000ths and over. And some of the specification coatings are as much as 8/10,000ths of an inch. And sometimes they will measure them in microns versus 10,000ths of an inch. One micron is equal to about 40 millionths of an inch, or half of a tenth. So when we look at our thickness ratings, those are the two dimensions, or the two dimensional systems we'll use. In the metric world, it's microns. In the inch world, it's 10,000ths of an inch. So all that being said, we have this thick coating. We have small fasteners. We have tight tolerances on threads, and we have tight tolerance in the drive. And sometimes that coating is too thick. The effect on the drive, let's say it's a Torx drive or a six lobe or a Phillips drive, maybe we have too much coating inside that drive and the insert, the bit that we drive the fastener with, won't go in, or the part will not gauge when we try to gauge it. So we have to accommodate that. For the most part, the applicators can control that, but they can't control it 100%. So we have to have an accommodation. And typically for drives, that accommodation is, rather than inspecting the drive with the gauge you would normally inspect it with, if it's, let's say, a hex socket or a Torx, we inspect it with the bit that we're going to drive that tool with or that fastener with. So we have to, of course, have those drive bits available to the applicator. As well, when it comes to thread fit, we have to accept that from time to time, maybe most of the time, the nut and the bolt will not screw together easily by hand. In other words, they won't just spin on. It'll take some torque to overcome that. Now, we do have some ways to measure that amount of torque. It's not very much. And the end user has to accept the fact that, hey, these things are not going to spin together like zinc plated fasteners would when we have these thick coatings. Getting the end user to understand that sometimes can be difficult. It really is no big deal. You're going to put a wrench on that nut or bolt sooner or later. So losing the spin-on feature is really not that big of a sacrifice compared to the increase in corrosion resistance that we get from dip spin coatings. It's just a matter of being able to educate the end users on what to expect. Now, in the thinner coatings, if we're only looking for maybe 200, 400, 500 hours of salt spray, we can probably get dip spin coatings to accommodate spin together nuts and bolts. When we need them to spin together and we want that thick coating, now that has to be taken into account when the fastener is manufactured. We need to make those threads not necessarily out of tolerance, but on the low side of the tolerance so that we have an extra amount of allowance there to make room for the plating. Well, that's about all I can say about these dip spin coatings and the fact that we have to have some extra accommodation when we use them. If you have any questions, you can contact me at the Carver Fact Center at carverem.com or carverfact.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Leo Kaur, editor of Distributors Link magazine, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
You're clicked into Fully Threaded Radio, everybody. Thank you for that. Brian Musker and Eric Dudas here. This time, we're joined by a man known to many of the threaderati simply as GH3. He's George Hunt III with Brighton Best International. He's based in my hometown, the great city of Chicago. Thanks for jumping in with us, George.
Eric, Brian, it's been a long time coming. I'm really excited to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You got that right.
It's our pleasure.
Well, we bumped into each other so many times at so many events over the years, and then strangely, we did kind of a reverse migration, right? So I came from Chicago, moved to Cleveland, you did the reverse, and now you're branch manager for Brighton Best.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny how that works, right? A lot of people in this industry and always thought that I'd always be in Cleveland for most of my life, and when opportunities come about, you got to jump on those. So here I am in Chicago.
That's good. And that's exactly where I met you. And we were sitting at the same table for dinner, one of the Midwest functions. And then I thought, we need to get this guy on the podcast.
Yeah, well, you did a lot more than just move to Chicago, too, because you now have a seat, I saw, on the MWFA board of directors. You were an NCFA guy. Well, you still are, but I mean, you're a board member of MWFA now, too. So you jumped in with both feet.
Yeah, you know, education is a big part of this industry, and all the associations have their part, and I think it's because of their the association that we're really able to grow, and not only, you know, as businesses and as distributors and in the market, but also individually. You know, you have to continue to grow as an individual to be the best you possibly can be. And to be associated with the Midwest Association is a blessing, that's for sure.
So apart from taking a position in one of the on the board, how does the associations help you to grow then? How do they help other people who are not on the boards?
Well, you know, association's a lot about networking and getting involved and making sure that not only you understand the market, you understand the players, you understand the game. And for me, personally, when I was associated with the North Coast Fastener Association, I was very young. I was in my 20s and didn't know a lot of people. I was an outside territory sales manager for Brighton Best International at the time, and we were growing quickly. And for myself to become the salesperson I wanted to be, I really needed to figure out what success meant.
how to really morph myself into the manager I wanted to become. And there was many people out there that I sought out for advice, and they said, get on a board, get on an association, talk to people and network. And that's the fastest way you can get to where you want to go. So I did. I was lucky enough to sit on a board with, you know, people like, you know, Marty Nolan from RL English, Scott Fadiga at KJ Fasteners, various individuals like that. So when I did that, it really allowed me to grow as an individual and really hone my skills on becoming the person I wanted to become. And I really sought out my passion and what my focus really wanted to be, and that was education. And I saw very early on that education was probably the driving force behind our industry and our market to make sure that we remain prevalent in the years to come.
And let's face it, you could give Bob GQ Bear a run for his money in the fashion department too. So you're dressing for success, George.
Well, I don't know about that. Bob is sharply dressed, that is for sure. But being part of the Midwest Faster Association, and Bob and Rich and Jeff and Brian and Becky and all those guys over there, Nancy, I'm young there. I'm very young and really taking on a lot from that association, because the Midwest Fastener Association is very in tune with their market, their region, and they do a fantastic job of bringing situations like Section 301, Prop 65, Fastener Quality Act, you know, pertinent material that our industry needs to know to the forefront, so it can help their distributors grow.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And though you brought up a couple of topics there that we want to touch on, before we jump over to the nuts and bolts of the nuts and bolts business, though, George, so how long total now have you been with Brighton? I mean, give us just a very quick thumbnail of your fastener career so far.
Sure. My fastener career is really short, actually. However, I think I have some longevity. I've been with Brighton Best and Brighton Best only, and 21 years that I've been there. So December this year, it'll be 21 years. So although a very short career or a short career in terms of how many people I've been with in Brighton Best, I started sweeping floors in the warehouse in Cleveland, Ohio, and really kind of morphed my way up to regional manager for the Midwest.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of those stories.
Yeah, that's a pretty good history.
Yeah, congratulations on that. So, yeah, let's talk about very quickly Prop 65 and then the new Section 301 wrinkle in the industry, because we do definitely want to jump back into the world of GH3. You're a mm-hmm. very interesting guy. So to rewind back on episode 129 of the podcast, it focused extensively on Prop 65, which was the California Clean Water and Air Act. There's been some new developments. Carmen Bertullo was our feature for that conversation. And your name was dropped during that conversation because of some comments that you'd made, I guess, on behalf of Brighton while you were participating in a panel discussion at the MWFA annual tabletop event. So, I mean, we could pick up on it from there, but I mean, very quickly, did you have a reaction to that segment? I know you heard it. Did you have follow-up comments? Where are you on Prop 65 right now?
You know, Prop 65, Brighton Best is taking Prop 65 very seriously, and it's a fluid situation and one that continues to change. Not so much as what it entails and what the law is, but how we're going to react to it. Carmen is a wealth of knowledge, a breath of fresh air. He has done his homework and, as you know, knows his stuff. He is a Prop 65 guru. You know, one of his, he had some advice, I guess, if you will, on the last podcast, and really kind of challenged the distributors and the suppliers to put their big boy pants on and do their research. And I think Brighton Best International has, and we will continue to do that. I said at the panel discussion that we were thinking of labeling every box,
in all of our boxes for distribution for Prop 65 to put the warning labels on there. And now it went from a generic statement that you can put on those labels to now a specific label in which that you have to put on the box. So since we've had that discussion in May, a lot of things and a lot of enforcement on what you need to do to comply to Prop 65 has changed. So we are continuing to work with our lawyers, our QA department, our engineers, independent labs, and our executive staff to become compliant in Prop 65. But that's not the only avenue. Labeling is not the only avenue. And we are going to look into all avenues to remain compliant for Prop 65.
Well, and that's very good to hear and not surprising either. We would expect nothing less. But my question would be, did you get any blowback from distributors, lower tier distributors who you do a lot of business with, in terms of your decisions and how it may affect their businesses? I mean, that seemed like why a lot of our listeners were kind of scratching their heads or worse.
I think a lot of our distributors want to know that we're taking this seriously, and not just Brighton Best, but all master suppliers out there. They want to know that they're protected. They want to know that we have their best interest at hand, and they want to know that they can trust in us to help them get past this. That's what I think that they want to know. Yes, I've received many phone calls, but they weren't frantic. They weren't frantic at all. They were more, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's discuss about what you're thinking and how you're going to implement these changes and what we can do to help. And if anything, Eric, what happened on your podcast, your last podcast, was a breathtaking and a breath of fresh air, because it allowed us to come to the table, sit down and talk about truly what's going on. And I applaud you and Brian for bringing this to the forefront, to creating a forum to discuss these situations and allowing us to have an educational conversation with our distributors to come up with a solution.
Okay, well, thank you for that, and we'll take it. I think in addition to that, that people who listened carefully also took away from that conversation the idea that this isn't a speeding train that we're right in front of. I mean, you have time to react. It's something definitely to be very much aware of, but you're not about to get squashed by it.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we do have time, and we do have another 60 days to really understand what needs to happen. I think what you will find probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you will find master suppliers making a choice, making a decision as to what they're going to do that is best for their organization. And I think you'll start hearing from them. The letters will be sent out and a decision will be made as to where we're going. But that's not the end of the conversation, right? That's only the beginning. From there, what happens is now we sit down and we talk about how we're going to continue to process this and to take on all opportunities that might be awaiting us in California. What I hate hearing is that this is a deterrent from growing the economy or growing opportunities in California. And that's the last thing I want to hear from a $100 distributor or a mid-tier distributor. I don't want them to deter from sales or deter from opportunities or stay away from something just because something might be hard or difficult or a challenge. And we're going to do everything that we can to support our distributors and be prevalent in California. Eric, Brian, you know, our headquarters is in L.A.
Yeah, I know.
We have 300,000 square feet of material there. Yeah. We're not going anywhere. So we need to make sure that this works.
Yeah, no, this is true. And it's also true that, you know, looking at how to deal with something that could be regarded as adversity is how you make yourself better.
Exactly. So don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
I guess that's probably good advice. Maybe that should be the title of the episode. Don't be scared.
Right.
Well, okay, so then let's move on to 301. Brian and I, as many people know, we have been in the bush way up north for the last week and a half or so. We emerged, and one of the first things I did was try to reacquaint myself with the outside world. I look at global fastener news. There's another headline for a tariff on some Chinese fastener products, and I'm like, oh man, am I in a time warp? Or I mean, is John like repeating his headlines, or what's going on? And then I come to find out we're in round three, George. What's going on?
Oh, Eric, I wish I was smart enough to answer the question, but I could, you know, hit a couple points. So a lot of distributors are asking, well, what happened to the second round? Let's start there first, right? What happened with the second round, and how are we now in round three and really no one touched on round two? Well, really what happened is Section 301 passed. It went through. We just weren't affected. When it went through, they took HTS, you know, 7318-1600 off. So China nuts weren't a part of the last round. So that was a breath of fresh air again, and a bullet dodged. However, retaliatory acts have been made by China, and the U.S. government didn't like that. So they put out another $200 billion of tariffs that they're going to try to put in on September 1st. So there'll be another 2 months of negotiating, seeing what they're going to do. And now 204 pages of additional tariffs that we're going to have to look through and to see what the affects us in fasteners. And quite honestly, Eric, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them on the fastener side. Pages 86 to 194, I believe, is all geared towards us. And really something that we're going to have to take a hard look at, because come September 1st, we have a good chance of 10% being imposed on us on fasteners coming out of China. And it's going to be interesting and see what happens.
So this really dramatically impacts, first of all, the master suppliers like yourself, isn't it? I mean, because ultimately, you're the ones who have to instantly carry the cost of any increases. And
right.
And the moment you pass these on, I mean, as any ordinary business would be having to do, I mean, you can't, unlike our federal government, you just can't produce money out of nowhere. Then you get the blowback from all the people who really want you to carry the cost and not them have to deal with that themselves.
Absolutely right, Brian. Absolutely right. You know, And we have to remain unemotional kind of in this whole political game. We need to just, there's nothing we can do about it. That's probably the best point you could have made. There's nothing we could do. And we are going to have to see how the political world shapes up and what this trade war is going to do to us. And we're going to have to take it and run with it. And there's really nothing that we can do about it. So right now we can educate ourselves on the tariff codes that will affect us, make sure we have an ample source of supply, make sure we have the inventory levels needed to support our distributors, and take the hit where it may fall. And right now that's a 10% increase.
I mean, you do have recourse, not you personally, but the industry has a recourse because, you know, they need to get involved in Washington because ultimately that's where these rules, laws, crazy or otherwise, are set. And, you know, I mean, the industry needs to have, I guess, access to lobbyists, doesn't it? I mean, every other industry does.
Yeah. Lobbyists, lawyers. They're going to need to, again, do what's best for their organization and really petition to the U.S. government, to the USTR, and let them know that the tariff codes that they have on these 204 pages really have nothing to do with intellectual property or anything else that they might be saying that they need to impose these tariffs on to help protect the United States.
You know, since you've only been in the fastener industry a meager 21 years, you were probably coming in just at the beginning of your career was the whole Fastener Quality Act issue. is I, and of course it's before our time too, really, but the way it's been described to me, that was a time when the industry really joined together politically and at least exercised some amount of influence in Washington, and actually that was the origin of the Fastener Industry Coalition.
Yeah, correct.
I wonder if it's time for the Fastener Industry Coalition, or maybe the NFDA, really the only other national distributor organization. I mean, I wonder if it's time for one of these groups to step up and unify the industry.
I think it is. I think it is. And you call it out. The Fastener Quality Act of 99 was really something that brought our industry together on. It really forced us to band like brothers and decide what was going to be best for our market and our industry so we can remain prevalent for the next 100 years. Section 301 and Prop 65 are similar. They're similar in their own right because it allows us to get together as equals and as partners and not competitors and figure out how we're going to tackle this so that we can continue to be successful in the many years to come. And you touched on, you know, the association has really got their strength and really beginning to take off in the late 90s, early 2000s because of the Fastener Quality Act. And I believe that if we have someone like the NFDA who would reach out to all the associations, including the FIC, and come together and sit down like a round table, you know, at Camelot, and put all their swords down and look across that board and everyone has a say and do what's right and what's best for the industry and the market and not for their individual chapter, the Fastener market, the Fastener world would be a better place.
Boy, you put it really well there. Very stirring. I think we have a future executive of the MWFA right here, folks. good going, George.
Well, it's passionate, and I know Brian and I have had many conversations about education and collaboration and understanding and really being more listeners and partners rather than adversaries and competitors.
Right. This was one of the early conversations I had with George at one of the Midwest things is that when I first actually talked to you, sort of even accidentally, I was talking to Don Shan, actually, and you, and suddenly realized who you were, okay? So, and it was about education that we were discussing.
Well, let's talk about that. You've referred to these conversations many times. When did you guys start speaking, actually?
Oh, it was, yeah, it was at the Fastener Tech, I think, like 2 years ago or something, and it was at the drinks afterwards, and I saw Don Shan talking to someone. I went up and said hello, and I found out I was talking to George. I have never talked to George before that. And then we started discussing how the associations really needed to address education from the basic level, even of how do you convince kids at school that, you know, there are other things they can do in life, like operating machinery. It's not, you know, there are things that people have to do in order to produce nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of conversation that goes on at these socials involving Fastener education. It's funny, I was just in a conversation like that with John Walkman, who's the chief of the Fastener Training Institute right now. And he was pointing out that so many times guys will say, oh, yeah, we're all behind education. And then when FTI puts a class together and he sends out the flyer saying, okay, well, here's the class you were talking about, sign up. You know, it's like rare as hen's teeth getting getting applicants. And, you know, so there's an apparent paradox there. But in actuality, it really isn't. I mean, these guys, when they're busy, they're too busy to send their employees, and then when business is slow, they don't have the cash to do it, it seems, you know? So they're out looking for sponsors. And my question was, well, what would it take for the market to support something like this without sponsorship, you know? And the answer is just kind of crickets. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not slamming anybody here. I'm just wondering, I'm scratching my own head. I'm saying, well, why do we have this apparent paradox?
It it baffles me really to this day why education and why collaboration seems to be on the back burner. Probably because it does take time, it takes effort, it takes passion, people who are passionate about it, who understand the end game, and it takes money. You know, not a lot of people are going to want to spend money for something that doesn't give them money back in return.
Yeah, but I get where you're going, George. But, I mean, in the market, people put their money mm-hmm. where there's a return. They put the, that's just yeah. a fact of life. So why don't they see the return? Well, we've talked with people recently who have gone through, say, the Fastener Training Week program, and it is an outstanding program, unquestionably. Yeah, people know that it is. And there's undoubted value there. So why isn't the market supporting it?
We need to. That's really the answer. We need to. We have the same problems with the associations. We have the same problem with MWFA. I know NCFA. You know, it's time. It's effort. It's getting to these owners, decision makers, letting them know that it is valuable for their people to leave work for a week and spend $1,000 to $10,000 per individual, per employee, to invest in that employee, to give them the tools to succeed. They have to understand and realize that. And unfortunately, Eric, not everybody does, and not enough people do. And we have to change that. We have to change that.
Okay, so how are you going to do that? So you're really getting pelted with questions here, George, okay? You sort of walked away when I walked up to you. And
well, I'm not putting George really on the spot. I don't know that he has an answer for it. I'm just pointing out that this comes up over and over.
Yeah, I mean, this...
It does. I don't have all the answers. I don't. But I will say that we do have to, you know, the young fastener professionals, great, great organization, a great premise, a great model for us to really support our youth and invest in them. That's a great start. We have to continue to do that. But we still have people out there that believe that information, and I hope that I say this right, because this is important and it's always been told to me, and I agree with this premise, is that if you have valuable information, you better keep it close to the vest, or you better keep it in your brain yourself, because if you give it to somebody else, you are less valuable. That is asinine.
Yeah.
That is so backwards thinking. We need to continue to be forward thinkers. We need to continue to surround ourselves with good people. And I am of the mantra where if you're a manager, you should be looking for people that are better than you.
Oh, agree entirely.
They should be better than you. And if whatever you have, whatever sense of wealth you have, whatever sense of value you have, whatever your focus is, you better be able to share that. That's your legacy. That's what you leave behind. I mean, people are too wrapped up about themselves and individuality and what they leave behind. Leave behind a legacy of education. Leave behind the organization you work for in a better place than what you came in at. That should be your legacy. That should be your mantra. That should be your focus.
Yeah, I think we're strong supporters of the individualist and the philosophy behind that. But I know exactly what you're saying, and I think that's very well put. It could be used around the industry a lot more to our mutual advantage. Very, very well put. So having said all this and hearing your impassioned speech on that topic and others, it's not real surprising. You listen to a lot of political podcasts, don't you?
I do. I always say my vices or what my hobbies are political, sports, and beer, not necessarily in that order. And quite honestly, as I've gotten older, my vices have matured, so beer's kind of morphed into scotch and cigars. So that is what that is, I guess.
Natural progression, my friend.
But yes, I do listen to a lot of political stuff.
Okay, so you must be pulling your hair. Oh, no, bad way of saying that. You must be really frustrated these days.
I don't know if frustration is the word. I mean, I really don't.
I'm a political honk in the sense that I don't pick red or blue. I just like the decision-making process in politics. I'm interested in the game. I'm interested in the charade. I'm interested in the, wow, why did he go in that direction? I wonder what he was thinking there. Politics to me is like chess. It's like chess. You're not looking at your next move. You're looking four or five moves ahead, and that's business. And that's why I think I really have gravitated to politics.
So then another question relating to politics, George, is I know that you have your a deep knowledge of the history of the United States too. And the people who don't know you so well wouldn't know that you chose the names of some of the U.S. presidents as the names of your own children, which I think is an extraordinary thing. So now please tell us why, what your reasoning behind choosing these names.
You know, I did, and God bless my wife. She wasn't on to me until my third, which was Reagan. And she kind of gave me the hairy eyebrow and said, something else is going on here. So I had to come clean. I had to come clean and let her know what I was up to when we had our fourth, which was Pierce. So to go back a little bit, Brian, so my eldest son, George, he's the fourth. And four plays a very important role. It's my favorite number. So there's a just kind of a link here. So George Hunt the fourth, my eldest son, obviously George being any one of the, you know, three presidents that have been named George, that's there, but he's the fourth. So you do then you morph into Madison, which I named her Madison because James Madison, founding father, yep. Sponsored the Bill of Rights, you know, was yep. the author of the Constitution. I mean, he was really prevalent in my desires for the political game. So I wanted a Madison. But also, Madison was the fourth president of the United States.
Right.
So she kind of gets linked with the four as well. Then Reagan. I loved Ronald Reagan. That was easy to do. We all love Ronald Reagan. I don't think there is one person that I've came across that actually had anything negative to say about Reagan. He reminds you of great times and, considerable growth and just a strong leader. Ronald Reagan was also the 40th president of the United States. So you get morphed into that number four again. And then lastly, Pierce, quite honestly, Franklin Pierce was probably the worst president our country ever had. But
that's saying
he happens to be
man.
The 14th.
Wow, okay.
He happens to be the 14th president of the United States. So that's the lineage of four, and it's the only one I could get my wife to actually agree to on the name because she liked Pierce. So that's where he comes in.
Yeah, it's a cool name, that's for sure. But as memory serves, and I don't know that much presidential trivia, but I think he's the only guy who died of drinking too much. Although Ulysses S. Grant was probably a close second.
The only one that was tied to it anyway. Yeah, he had cirrhosis of the liver. But, you know, Franklin Pierce was a likable guy. He just had a bad family situation. You know, his wife was mentally ill, and he had some deaths with his children while in office, too. So, yeah, he had a tough go of it as a family man.
Probably would have fit in well in the fastener business, though.
Yeah.
Well, we would have understood him, that's for sure.
Now, did you ever think of naming your son George III Jr.?
No. So George is in the family. The interesting part of that is, you know, my great-great-grandfather was Francis George Hunt the 16th. And then we came back, and my grandfather was George Francis Hunt, then Jr., then me, then my son. The fourth. So hopefully we have some longevity in this. We've been blessed to have 19 generations of this mantra, and hopefully we have another 19 more. But I will tell you this, it is increasingly difficult and a lot of pressure on having that George when you were a kid. So now I've passed that pressure on to my son, and I love it. I love it.
Yeah, well, see, George Foreman had a way around that. He just named all his kids George. You ever think of doing that, or did your wife shoot that down right off the bat?
He did, but yeah, that was, and she knew that too. So she was like, you get one George, that's it.
Yeah, because you could leapfrog to George the 16th real quick if you had five kids and you named them the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and so forth, right? Then they're generating, well,
you that's. You could do that. You're right.
That's,
you're right.
Getting a little out of hand.
That would be cheating, though, Eric. We frown on cheating.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's true. That goes against the FTR code. Well, I have one very small story about your son, George. At least I'm pretty sure it was George. Mm-hmm. He came to one of our NCFA meetings when we had some of the guys from the Cleveland Indians baseball team, their back office, and they were the guest speakers. And so there was a pretty cool raffle that happened afterwards. And the first guy won, I don't know what it was, George, you probably remember, it was a signed baseball or a jersey or something like that. And the guy who won it actually donated it to your son. So
he did.
Yeah, and that started, this speaks not only to what a cool guy you are for bringing your son to this thing, but also to the generosity of the fastener industry. So this started a trend. The next guy who came up, he couldn't not donate his award or his prize to your son. And then that started. I don't think there was one guy who kept his prize. Your son walked out of there with thousands in cash and prizes that night.
He cleaned up, that's for sure. And he still has all of that. He still has all that. And you're right, Eric. I mean, this is a great band of brothers, as I said before, and sisters. And, you know, quite honestly, it's a close-knit group of individuals. The mantra continues to be, once you're in, you can never get out. You know that better than anybody, Eric. So, I mean, it's, I'm blessed. I really am blessed and fortunate to not only be a part of Brighton Best International for as many years as I've been, but also to be associated with this industry because I have met a tremendous amount of people and, I love what I do.
Well, here's another personal question for you then, George. People say that you're definitely one of the busiest guys out there. I mean, you're constantly going, and you're dedicated to self-improvement, dedicated to doing the best that you can for BBI and the industry, frankly. Let's face it. And at the same time, you've got a great way, apparently, of balancing life, family, business. What do you do? What's your secret, and how do you stay motivated to keep it up for BBI?
I married a great woman. I married a great woman. She really does everything at home and our personal life and takes care of it all so that I can focus on nothing but work. And I would say 8 or 9 years ago, she made a change too in my professional career. And that was when I'm at home, she takes the laptop and the cell phone away.
Okay.
And so I'm dedicated. I'm all in. You know, before I couldn't say I was like that. You know, the cell phone was going on at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I was doing emails on the weekend. And although it was going well professionally, personally, it was draining. Four kids and a wife, they want some alone time too. So she's very, very good about, you know, Monday through Friday. You do it. You do it hard. You go 110 miles an hour. You be you. But when you come home on Friday at 5 o'clock, I get your laptop and I get your cell phone and that's it. You're mine. And I can't tell you how great it's been, not only for me professionally, but personally. I'm fresh. I'm recharged. Come Monday morning, I'm ready to hit the streets and give them my full attention. But two, you know, at home when I need to be there and I need to be there for my kids, I need to be a husband, I need to be a father. I'm there too. So my suggestion, my advice, marry a great woman.
And learn how to put the cell phone away.
Yeah. That's you, Brent.
Right.
Well, that's great advice. I think a lot of people are happy to hear that. I really do. Cause I think people sometimes, I don't know why, but they're afraid to say that anymore, which they shouldn't be.
Right. So I've got another question for you, George.
It's a masculine industry.
Apart from Rosie the Riveter, okay? At what stage, sweeping the floors in BBI, did you decide that it was an industry actually you wanted to be in? I mean, sweeping the floors is not a good way of learning how to become fascinated in an industry, okay?
Wow, Brian, you're good at these questions. You've been doing this for a little while, huh? So in a former life, I was a musician. I actually went to school at Cleveland State University, had a full scholarship, and I played the bassoon. And my goal was to be a music therapist. In the interim, I swept floors at Brighton Best from 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. As you know, I was born into the industry. I've worked with nuts and bolts since I was 5 years old. I would put assemblies together, I'd pack them up, and I'd get 5 cents a bag from my grandmother and my uncle. And boy, I thought I was living the life of Riley. But as I got older, that's not what I wanted to do. I tried everything I could to get away from this industry. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be a therapist. And that's what I was going to do. As I was sweeping the floors at Brighton Best, and as I moved up my way in warehousing, I became very close to Steve Andrasik, vice president of sales at Brighton Best. And I, you know, this is going to sound very weird, but it is what it is. I fell in love. I fell in love with what he did, how he portrayed himself, his character, his drive, his work ethic. And it was like, you know, your son when he's 3 or 4 years old and he looks up to his dad and he says, I want to be that when I grow up. That's kind of the epiphany I had. And I was like, I want to do that. The problem was I had to call my father and tell him I was dropping out of a college that I had a full ride to and yeah. Jump into the fastener industry.
Right.
And so he said, hey, look, just do me one favor. Graduate. I don't care what you do. Just get that piece of paper. So I did. I went to Brighton Best. I dropped out of college. I went to Brighton Best. I was all in. And as I progressed up the chain at Brighton Best, I kept my promise to my father and one-upped him. I didn't get one piece of paper. I got two. So it just, it's a blessing. And you just, when good things happen to good people. I believe that. And, you continue to put your head down and work hard. It'll work.
That's a great story. You're a very fortunate guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't have the benefit of someone who they could regard as sort of a mentor in a way, someone who they decide is so good they just want to be like them. I think it's a great, great thing to happen to someone.
Absolutely. And it still happens today. I mean, I work very closely with Steve Andrasik, and he teaches not only me, but a lot of people, not only at Brighton Best and in this industry. He's an infectious individual and, one that if you're a young fastener professional out there and you need someone to hitch your wagon to, or you need someone to ask advice, or you need someone to just, bounce some ideas off of, he would be one I would definitely tell you to go to.
Yeah. You'll never hear a bad word about Steve. Do you want to give out his cell number right now? No, we won't do that to you, Steve.
No, his wife might have taken it away.
Hey, one last one, as long as we're kind of on this thread of personal development or so forth. You think the work ethic can be installed or can it be taught? I mean, which is it? Is it just an innate thing, or can it be taught, or is it cultivated? What's your opinion on that?
Yes and no. I do think you have to have the heart and the drive and the inertia already solidified in your soul. But what I do think can happen is that if you do surround yourself with good people, it'll bring you up an echelon. It'll move you up a level. Competition breeds excellence. And that's why I had stated you need to surround yourself with better people than you, because it'll make yourself better in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it also helps if you have, you know, if you have someone who you think you want to emulate, I mean, and they're hardworking, then that will force you to be hardworking yourself. I mean,
right.
The nature versus nurture thing only goes so far. People can change themselves.
Well put. Well, we're going to wind it there, gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, George. As you said, it was a long time coming, and I think we're going to have you back in the near future. But I would like to ask you a very quick one before we do let you run, and that has to do back with the tariff issue and pricing, because we were throwing this number 10% around. I think our audience members who have stuck around for this interview probably wouldn't mind one more tidbit of fastener, direct fastener info, and that would be, when should we see these price changes taking effect in the market for most of our audience, most of these mid-tier distributors?
You know, we don't know the exact time or date. We do know that the decision will be coming down on September 1st, but that can mean they're going to prolong it another 30 days. They could take some of these HTS codes off. They can add. So September 1st really is the date where you need to reconvene and come back and take a look at what the government throws out there so you can update yourself with what's going on. Right now, there's a possible 10% tariff going to be imposed on the $200 billion and 204 pages of tariffs they already put in play, but that can change. So you just need to stay in front of this and reach out to your suppliers, reach out to all of us and ask us. We're on top of this daily. And if we don't have the answer you're looking for, we will go and find it for you. We will help you. So if you need our help, reach out to us. We're more than happy to talk to you about it.
So then just to be clear, like during round one of all of this, I remember people coming back from the Taiwan show, and it seems like news had just hit the street and the prices were already built in, even though they supposedly weren't going to be taking effect for some time. That has not happened this time.
Right. That has not happened this time because we, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So that's kind of the mantra we're taking. We want to take a step back, see what's going to happen, make sure that we tighten up everything that we can to tighten that up and see what comes down on September 1st. Remember, in round two, they took off the nuts. So they might take some of these other ones off. They might add some. We don't know. But September 1st is a valid date that you should look to see if what's going to happen with your pricing. But in lieu of that, Eric, there are still things going on overseas that will affect your price point. There are still things going on, and a lot of it is supply and demand, where some of the vendors and some of the manufacturing overseas is taking this opportunity to raise their prices. So as the market adjusts, we too have to adjust.
Yes, the rise of those pesky legitimate market forces once again, folks. Well, George Hunt III, you're with BBI. You've been a very gracious guest and the long-awaited. Thank you so much for doing it. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you very much, and hope you have a great day.
Same to you, Manny.
It's Fully Threaded. We'll talk to you on the other side of these commercials.
Brian and Eric, they're online. Fastener Talk Radio Extremist. You're right on with Fully Threaded Radio.
When top quality and outstanding service are at the top of your list in fastener suppliers, turn to Stelfast. Since 1976, Stelfast has grown to become an industry-leading importer and manufacturer of the highest quality industrial fasteners, specialty items, and automotive parts. Our array of facilities across North America and in Asia, along with full quality control labs and ISO 9001:2008 certifications, ensure the highest quality parts, and at Stelfast, they're delivered with undisputed service excellence. We're family-run and dedicated to your success. Our customers have come to depend on the expertise of our staff and the quality of our products. We also offer a wide range of secondary services to meet some of the toughest requirements you might have. Contact Stelfast today through our website at www.stelfast.com and put us to work for you. Stelfast, service you deserve, people you trust.
Harry, now that you use InSQL software, how do you like it?
InSQL has delivered. They truly are written for fastener distributors. It's affordable and their support staff is great.
We found InSQL's support staff has depth. They know our industry and they certainly know their software. I see they've helped you pronounce InSQL.
Yes, but what does InSQL mean? Is it written in SQL? Is the data stored in SQL? Are they located in SQL?
InSQL uses the industry standard Microsoft SQL database, which is why it's so powerful and easy to use.
Oh, the database is stored in SQL. I don't even know where that is. I hear it's a nice place.
Harry, InSQL uses a SQL database because it's current technology and your data is completely accessible. No more expensive custom reports.
Is that why InSQL is so easy to use? Where is SQL on the map?
One of their many support members will help you answer that. Go to their website, www.inxsql.com, or call toll-free, 877-446-9775.
ND Industries has been solving customers' toughest problems through innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service since 1955. A family-owned business, ND Industries manufactures and applies fastener locking, bonding, sealing, masking, and assembling products. Their pre-application process makes fasteners ready to use at the point of assembly, resulting in reduced labor costs, time savings, and superior quality assurance. As a fully integrated company, ND handles all aspects of operations from formulating custom chemical compounds and coating fasteners to providing inline inspection, packaging, and delivery services. ND Industries serves the global market with 13 divisions in the continental U.S. and also facilities in Taiwan, China, and Turkey. Learn more about ND Industries at our website at www.ndindustries.com. ND Industries. Innovative technologies, competitive pricing, and industry-leading service. Contact ND today.
I need 1/4 20x2 zinc-plated socket head cap screws ASAP. My customer has a line down and needs Saturday delivery. Help!
Solution Man Ken. I have over $1 million in zinc-plated sockets in stock, and I'll gladly drop ship directly to your customer on Saturdays. Visit the Solution Industries website for details at solutionind.com.
Is there anything you can't do, Solution Man?
When it comes to fasteners? Nothing I can think of, ma'am. I'm not too good at bowling, though.
This is Todd Walters with the Boulder Company, and you're listening to Fully Threaded Radio.
Well, Bri, it was good getting to know George Hunt III a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had an interesting conversation. It was, you know, standing around the bar. We were discussing the issues that the various fastener associations are facing, and particularly training, and how do you really ensure that the industry will actually have enough qualified people in it to be able to, you know, sell fasteners, make them, and the various responsibilities that the associations have relative to doing that. Okay. Whose job is it to try and make sure that for someone, you know, like in Cleveland, that Ken can find people who know how to use his cold heading machines? I mean, the government isn't going to end up doing it.
Yes, we all know that. Well, it's an eternally fascinating story in the fastener industry. And also, given the interesting story of how he named his kids and then Mike kind of kidding around with him about George Foreman, had I been faster on the draw, I would have whipped out the George Foreman, F-O-U-R,
yeah, correct,
idea a lot sooner, and we would have had a good chuckle, but I didn't do it, so here I am shoehorning it in. Scratching for material for the fastener industry. Well, we'd like to extend once again a thanks to GH3 George Hunt III for joining us on the podcast today. Also, Kelly Cole from Hayes and the NFDA. He joined Mike McNulty on the Fastener News Report today. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep.
We also spoke with Jessica Bowick from Mack Brooks. And, of course, Carmen Vertulo had the Fastener Training Minute. Thank you, one and all. The title sponsor of Fully Threaded Radio is Stealthfast. For service you deserve and people you trust, it's Stealthfast. Fully Threaded is also sponsored by Buckeye Fasteners, BTM Manufacturing, Fastenal, Fastener Technology International, the International Fastener Expo. It's the Vegas show, folks. It's coming up in October.
Right. Otherwise known.
InSQL Software, ND Industries, The Worth Group, Volt Industrial Plastics, and Solution Industries, home of Solution Man. Let us know what you think of the podcast, everyone. The email address is ftr@fullythreaded.com, and we do use Twitter from time to time where the handle is Fully Threaded.
Yeah, don't be frightened to give us suggestions about people we should interview or people you think we should interview and topics we might want to consider. So we're open to all sorts of suggestions.
Yeah, like George Hunt said, Bri, don't be scared. Don't be scared. That was my favorite line that he threw out there. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are scared these days, Bri. We talked about Amazon, you know, possibly encroaching further into the industry, and that's, of course, an ongoing theme in a lot of industries these days.
Yeah, right. I mean, the people who own bookshops when Amazon started up and were laughing about how stupid it was that you'd do this, they're in different businesses now, okay? I mean, you cannot discount Amazon. It's got a fortune behind it, and it can pay for things that it wants to happen, be it in our federal government or anywhere.
And let's just face it, it's a trend that's, how did Ian Heller say it last episode? Disintermediating. It's a disintermediating force, potentially. But the lovely and talented Lynn Dempsey helped us out with a way to close out this episode. Everyone, we warned you that we were going to help you save your business in the face of all of this, and we want you to not be scared. She attended an ongoing education program recently in which they talked about a concept known as VUCA, which I hadn't heard about previously. Had you, Bright?
No. There's a way outside my sphere.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, there's an article on Forbes magazine, that's Forbes.com, that she sent over urging me to take a look at it, and I'm glad I scanned it. Title of it is How VUCA is Reshaping the Business Environment and What It Means for Innovation. This is going back to May 9th, but I'm sure you could find it, everyone. Forbes.com. Author is a lady by the name of Sunny Giles. VUCA, that's spelled V-U-C-A, is a concept that originated with students at the U.S. Army War College to describe the volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity of the world after the Cold War.
Okay.
And now the concept is gaining new relevance to characterize the current environment and the leadership required to navigate it successfully.
Okay, so but it's a new name for a concept or a problem that's been around for a very long time. I mean, would you consider that in the period after the Nazis attacked Poland, that the whole world wasn't riddled with volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity?
Well, no, nobody's saying that, because that's why they came up with the term at that point, Bray. Follow along. Story continues. Unpredictable events happening outside an organization can be negative or positive, but either present greater VUCA, which makes it more difficult for leaders to make decisions. Now, fortunately, and that's why I didn't want to go off on this jag about whether or not it's more or less volatile today or at the end of World War II or whatever, because that misses the main point. The main point is, Bri, the good news is that negative complexity can, in fact, be harnessed to create positive complexity, because the underlying principles that govern both are the same. Here are some things any organization can do now to start with the transition.
I'm listening. Okay.
So we're going to provide you these four items, folks, and pay close attention, because you're going to thank us for dwelling on this and skipping over petty arguments about whose era was more volatile and uncertain.
Okay, the one that I instantly pounced into.
Point one. Move from hierarchy to self-organization. Push decisions down the edge of the organization where information is the freshest and most salient.
Okay. Much more easily said than done. If you happen to work for an organization that won't allow that, then you're screwed, like most big organizations.
Well, see, that's why they're all so uncertain, I guess.
Right.
Point number two.
Right.
Move from protecting information to democratization of information. So they're suggesting empowering employees, basically, with this comment.
Right. A little bit aligned with one of the comments George made, which I think is very important, which is that, you know, the best manager is one who's surrounded by really, really, really smart people. The old mentality was that he was in the most dangerous position because anyone could have replaced him. But different philosophy.
That's exactly what I was thinking. See, George, he might be able to moonlight, like, in the fortune cookie business.
Okay. We forgot to ask him that question, despite all the numerous other ones that were not even remotely related to fasteners that we did discuss.
He's totally set up for a second appearance, totally. Point three, speed up interactions. And who doesn't want to shorten the sales cycle, everybody? Says, accelerate the speed of interaction as much as possible. In the VUCA age, speed matters more than perfection.
Interesting. Okay.
And what would have happened if we would have worked with those part pick guys a little faster, Brian? You never know.
Yeah, right. Instead of 3 years.
Should be eating our own dog food here. And point four, this one I can really appreciate. It was made for guys like me. Point four, use simple rules to make quick decisions rather than perfect analysis.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's fair, and that's basic common sense.
Yeah, but who says the world operates with common sense, Bri?
Yeah, I know. It's true. You're better off with some guidance rather than waiting for a leather-bound manual that's going to come out in 5 years' time that gives you all the guidance.
Again, everybody, these are four steps you can take to remedy volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity in your business, which seems to be endemic these days with the likes of disruptive technologies and companies appearing all over the place and threatening our very way of life.
Well, and I hope it's just not another one of these words. I mean, if you hear VUCA turning up in conversation, then be very afraid, okay? It'll be like the friends and the media from like 10 years ago suddenly inventing this word gravitas and everyone repeating it.
Oh, Bri, we've got to... No, folks, don't pay attention to what he just said. We want you to not be afraid. Listen to the next episode. We'll get George Hunt the Third back and it'll all be good.
Okay.
But not on episode 131, probably.
Oh, no, we won't have time.
Nevertheless, that's going to put this episode of the Fully Threaded Radio Podcast in the can. Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Volatility, uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, remember.
All that and more. For Brian Musker, this is Eric Dudas. Get out there, sell some screws. Don't be scared.
Remember what George said.
And we'll talk to you next time.
Fully Threaded Radio is a production of Fasteners Clearinghouse. Music provided by Audionautics.